When we send our little children to school, our anticipation is that they're going to learn. And our anticipation is that they're going to come out with some agreement on many very simple things. If I were to ask the question, what is 2 plus 2? It doesn't matter whether I'm in Louisville, whether I'm in Bowling Green, whether I'm in Atlanta, whether I'm in Miami, Florida. We expect the same answer, don't we? 2 plus 2 is 4. I remember when communism first fell in Russia and in Eastern Europe. I hopped on the big plane and took off to Russia and rented a convention center to try to offer Bible classes. And we had large crowds because living under communism, they'd never had the opportunity to study the Bible before. They'd never seen a Bible before. But there were three professors holding their PhD degrees that asked to speak with me afterwards. And they said, "Sir, here is our recommendation. Because we've had people to come here from the Mormon church. We've had people to come here from the Baptist church. We've had people to come here from the Seventh-day Adventist church. And every one of them are teaching a different doctrine. I'd like for all of you Americans to go back to America and figure out what your God believes in and then come back and try to teach us." You see, they were confused. This one group says you're supposed to worship on Saturday. No, I say Sunday. This group says that you're supposed to sprinkle for baptism. I say, no, the Bible teaches immersion. And I could go on giving lots and lots of examples like that. And I said, look, all I'm asking, don't take my word for anything. I'm a teacher, but I want you to open the Bible and read it for yourself. God gave you a brain, and God gave you a book. And God believes that you can read that book using that brain that you've got, and you can understand it. Now, if I read it, and you read it, I think we have both come up with 2 plus 2 equals 4. There should not be the division of 2,500 different denominations. But you know what I have found to be part of the problem? A lot of people have never read their Bible. 66 books written by 40 different men over a period of 1,500 years. But a lot of people own a Bible, but they've never read the Bible. And then some of the people that do read their Bible daily, they always go back and read the Psalms, or they'll read the creation account in Genesis, or they might read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, the story about Jesus, but there's lots of other books they've never read. Now, I do not want you to think that I'm standing up here throwing stones in your face this morning. And I'm not trying to make you feel horribly guilty. But look at what I put on the chart. Why study one of the books of Moses? Why study the book of Leviticus? Now, when's the last time that you were in a class that studied the book of Leviticus? If I were to ask right now, just write down one sentence as to what you think the theme of the book of Leviticus is. What do you think you're supposed to learn? A lot of people would say, I don't know. Leviticus is a very neglected book. Many people say, well, I don't read it because I consider it boring. It's all about the details, about sacrifices. There's a long, long list of laws. There's a lot of stuff for the priest under the Jewish religion. And I just didn't see anything that was relevant to me. And so they neglect that in their daily reading. But I want to argue this morning that Leviticus is for us today, because Paul said in Romans 15, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Now, there are many things in Leviticus that I don't live under, I don't go to the temple and offer an animal sacrifice. I'm not bound to the priest there at the temple. I'm not bound to the Sabbath keeping. And let me tell you a secret. I wouldn't have made a good Jew. I love pork chops. And I love bacon. And according to the book of Leviticus, they weren't allowed to eat those things. So there are things that was laws under the Old Testament to the Jewish people. But see, I don't see any Jews in this building this morning. All of us would be considered Gentiles. So that's why I'm happy to get into the New Testament and see that now God has adopted everybody. We sing that song sometimes, red and yellow, black and white. You see, we all become one family. And I'm happy for that. Leviticus has often been referred to as the white pages of the Bible. Now, what do I mean by that? If I ask to borrow your Bible and I turn and the book of Genesis, and I see, well, you've circled right there. There's day one on creation. There's day two. And sometimes people use a yellow highlighter. Sometimes they'll put an arrow beside it, or they'll put a star. And it's all written up. It's all marked up. And you go over to the Gospels, and they've circled and underlined, and they've colored a lot of things about the life of Jesus. But look at the Bibles of many Christians. Look at the books. They have some verses highlighted in color, words underscored, notes in the margin, and then compare that to the book of Leviticus. Many of them look like this. I call it the white pages. Again, I don't want to embarrass you, but what does your Bible look like? How many times have you studied the book of Leviticus? I have already mentioned that the author is Moses. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He wrote those five books around 1400 B.C., 1400 years before Christ was born. The occasion was that the Israelites, or the Jews, were down at Mount Sinai, where that God had talked to Moses and gave him the tablets of stone. Now, the English name, Leviticus, is actually from the Latin word, taken in turn from the Greek word, a reference to those priests that were called the Levites. It would be wrong, however, to describe this book, Leviticus, simply as a manual for the priest, because it equally deals with every follower of God. Now, if you don't learn anything else from my lesson this morning, I hope that you'll learn what I've highlighted here in the gold. From chapter 17 to 26, we see God instructing Moses to repeat the command over and over and over again. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. If I were to take the youngest of the children that's in this room right now, and if I say, well, now, if I were going to go murder somebody, is that good or is that bad? I think that the children know the answer to that. That's bad, isn't it? If I were to say, well, what if I go and spit in the face of this woman, is that good or is that bad? What if I hate this person because of the language they speak or the color of their skin? Is that good or is that bad? You see, this book is talking about being holy. And we derive our holiness, whether we're talking about our worship, whether we're talking about our family life, whether we're talking about caring and sharing out into the world, it all comes back to our relationship with God. In chapter 18, in verse 3, it says, you shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you dwelt. That's where they came from. And you're going to soon be crossing the Jordan River, and you're going over into the land of Canaan. And I don't want you to do as they do in the land of Canaan, the land where I am bringing you. You should do my ordinances, and you shall keep my statutes. I am Yahweh, your God. When we look at the word holiness, I'm not going to have the time to read all of these, but just look at the chart that I made there. The top one, chapter 19, verse 1, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then look as it keeps going. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. Can you see? There's an emphasis. The only reason I need to be holy is because I want to be close to God. And God is holy. Now, Leviticus constitutes a major source of the Jewish law. In Jewish literature, there is evidence that the first book that children were taught was not the book of Genesis, even though that's a great story, learning about the creation. But the first story that Jewish children are taught is the book of Leviticus, because it's the closest book that is being devoted to the commandments to stay holy. Now, if I could get everybody to accept that we want to be holy, I would never have to preach a sermon about some women are dressing immodestly. Right? I would never have to preach against gambling. I would never have to preach against lying. I wouldn't ever have to preach against drugs and alcohol. I wouldn't have to bring up the matter of abortion, that since 1973, 80 million children have been killed in the United States. I wouldn't have to bring any of those things up if everybody was concerned about being holy and being right with God and caring about what He says. Moses instructed the Israelites, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. These words I command that you put these into your heart. You shall teach these diligently to your children. Talk about these things when you're sitting in your house. Talk about these things when you go for a walk. Talk about these things when you lie down." Did any of you used to watch the show The Waltons? It was always after they were in bed and turned the lights out that you'd hear them yelling at each other from one room to the other room. "Good night, John boy." You know what God was instructing? You see, if you're wanting to train your children, something as simple as holding that little child even before that child can talk, and go for a walk and say, "Where's the moon?" They can point. They can recognize the moon. The child can't talk yet, but the brain is mighty active. Now later, when the child starts talking, now you say, "Where's the moon? Who made the moon?" "God." And so it's a progression. You keep adding to it and you keep teaching them more. And so the fathers taught the children about holiness. This is the distinction in the theme of Leviticus. Distinct. What does that mean? Different, isn't it? You're going to be different. Your living is going to be different. If I used to be a man of the world, I used to curse all the time, they ought to be able to say, "Hey, you've changed. You don't use those bad words anymore. Why?" "I'm now a servant of God. I'm trying to be holy." "Well, you and your wife were talking about getting a divorce. You used to beat her all the time. Now I see you holding hands and acting like you're sweethearts again. What happened?" "Well, I changed my living because I'm trying to be a servant of God." Our family will become an example and a model for everybody else in the neighborhood. And if any of you teenagers want to impress me and show me how mature you are, let me see you give mom or dad a hug before you leave the house and say, "I love you." You see, the family is going to be different. There's going to be a respect in the home. Husbands are going to love their wives. Wives are going to reverence and submit. The parents are going to train the children. The children are going to obey the parents. And then too, if we're going to be distinct, our preaching needs to be distinct. We're not to preach our opinions, our want-tos, our think-sos. We're supposed to preach God's say-sos and to bring people to what does the Bible say. And then our view of the church, our view of life, our view of death. Remember what God has done for you. Repent of the sin within you. Remove the uncleanness. Now, see, all of these things are coming from the book of Leviticus. A lot of people don't talk about repentance. Reject worldliness. Recognize the need for distinction. And reverence the Lord God. Oh, I could spend an hour on each one of these things that I've highlighted in the green. But I hope by just throwing these words in front of you that you recognize the importance of each one of those in trying to be holy. Now, when we go through Leviticus, he has law after law. Here is the way that you deal with other people. You don't oppress your neighbor. You don't swear. You don't steal. You see, we're trying to be holy. We talk about then how we care for people. Now, the rich people, when you had land, you had the harvest, you leave a little bit left in the field so the poor people can go and that they can get something to eat. That's a law in the book of Leviticus. You shall not hate your fellow countryman. God deals with vengeance and grudges and hatred. These things are forbidden. You are supposed to be holy. And so many of these laws from the Old Testament are repeated by Jesus in His sermons and repeated by the men that wrote the New Testament books, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's make sure that Leviticus is not the white pages of our Bible. Be ye holy because God is holy. I hope that your desire will be to always follow God. Be holy, for God is holy. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's often called an invitation song. It's often called a song of encouragement. That will give an opportunity. People that are not Christians can say, "I'm ready to become a Christian." Or people that are Christians but haven't been living like they ought to can start all over again. So I hope that we will encourage each other to do what's right and to follow God, to be holy.